Hi, I'm Gil Pearl, and this is the Yeshiva Lab School Principles of Pedagogy podcast. Now that we've looked at all 15 of the principles of pedagogy at Yeshiva Lab School, it's time to take a closer look at that graphic we've been showing at the beginning of each episode. It has all 15 of the principles on it and will be a good review for us for what we've learned. So let's begin. The first principle that we talked about was that accessing prior knowledge and experience allows for accurate and impactful learning. So we talked about the fact that any learning we do at Yeshiva Lab School begins by trying to access what students know already, what they've experienced already with regard to this particular subject. Principle number two said that content and relevance are created when content is presented whole to part. That is the big picture. We need to start with that and create that need to know so that students want to know what they're learning and so that the driving questions behind school are not, do we have to know that or will that be on the test, but rather this desire to discover and to uncover things about themselves, things about the world around them. The third principle that we looked at said that in a world of infinite information, skills are infinitely more valuable than content. And of course, we made the point that it's not that we don't teach content or that there isn't content that's quite important. In fact, I don't think I made a strong enough point earlier that part of what we want to do is create cultural literacy. Cultural literacy as citizens of the United States, cultural literacy as Jews. And that requires a certain basic knowledge of content. But at the same time, the overarching educational experience should be driven by skills rather than content, because skills is what's going to open the door for our students to become lifelong learners and to take in all sorts of content for the rest of their lives. Principle number four that we looked at is the first in our pair of choice and voice. We looked at the idea of choice and said that opportunities for student choice increase student ownership and interest in the learning process. And here we focused on the idea that student choice does not necessarily mean big choices like to learn to read or not to learn to read, but rather small choices that children can make throughout their learning experience about what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and that ultimately brings them into the learning process, makes them an active participant in an incredibly valuable way. Principle number four is that appropriate amounts of struggle, discomfort, and error-making lead to deeper learning. We noted that it's important for our students to run up against challenges that are hard for them. It's important for them to struggle because so often the process of learning is encountering things we can't do, things that don't fit into our preconceived notions of how they should work, and coming to grips with that and re-envisioning or recreating the schema in our own minds so that now we have a more accurate vision of how things ought to happen or how to perform certain things, that's critical to the learning process. We also emphasized when talking about this principle the need to pay more attention to our gifted children and to noting that they too have to be moved from wherever they are now to wherever they go next, and that's equally as important as moving any other student from where they are to the next point in their learning journey. Our sixth principle said that self-reflection and metacognition allow students to locate themselves on their journey toward learning. We noted that critical to the learning process is our students' ability to know what they know, and perhaps even more importantly, to know what they don't know. So whether it be engaging them in reflective exercises to understand how far they've come and how much further they have to go, or it's to making sure that when we are giving feedback on assessments and such, we're doing so transparently. And we're doing so in a way that students are not beaten down, but understand that in any learning process, there's never an end. It's always a matter of where I am now and where I need to go tomorrow. Principle number seven says that real-world applications and experience lead to real-world learning. We noted that the purpose of school is to create transfer so that what our students learn inside the classroom then can be applied outside of it. We talked about the idea that this happens in two different ways. Either it's by taking our students out into the real world to learn from other resources that are out there and to apply what they've learned, or we take the real world and we bring it into the classroom in the form of spaces that have real world names, in the form of bringing real world people into the classroom in order to share their learning with our students. Principle number 8 in Yeshiva Lab School's Principles of Pedagogy is that long-term content retention requires frequent, low-stakes, generative recall with proper spacing and interleaving. This one is certainly the biggest mouthful. But what it means is that if we want students not simply to regurgitate something for a test, but to actually commit it to their long-term memory, then we need to constantly be coming back to it in forms that are not anxiety-producing and in forms that ask our students to do something with this information. Furthermore, we noted that it can't be that we come back to it several times in a small space, but rather over time we have to be coming back to it. As we introduce new material, we come back to the old, we introduce something new, we come back to that which we've done before. That's generative recall with proper spacing and interleaving. Principle number 9 is that emotional, social, and spiritual success results from intentionally designed learning opportunities. We reminded ourselves that we cannot take it for granted that a child is going to learn how to play and behave with their peers any more than we can take it for granted that a child is going to learn to read, unless we give them the opportunity to explicitly learn how to do it and what our expectations are. And as much as that is true in social and emotional learning, it's true for a child's religious development as well. We need to think from a very early age about how we design experiences that create true spiritual connection, begin to make them spiritually sensitive so that they can develop into the kinds of Jews we'd like to see them be. Principle number 10 takes us into the outer structures that need to be in place for learning to thrive. So principle number 10 at Yeshiva Lab School states that consistent collection of qualitative and quantitative data allows for adaptive instructional decision making for every student. That is, every learning experience must come along with some means of checking the degree to which a child has progressed and has learned. And that means of checking needs to be more than something we simply check off in a box, we assign a number to, and then leave as is. It needs to inform what we do next. Because to move on if a child has not sufficiently learned is doing a disservice to that child. Or to keep a child learning something which they've mastered already is equally unfair. Principle number 11 of Yeshiva Lab School's Principles of Pedagogy states that authentic audiences and performance-based assessments significantly increase student engagement and motivation. We need to look for times to bring the outside world into our classroom and ask our students to perform, or ask our students to go out to the real world and to do something authentic for people outside of the regular environment. Because we've all seen the way in which children rise to the occasion when there are other people involved, when they know they're going to get feedback from the outside, that quality of what they do rises significantly. Principle number 12 talks about the environment we are creating within the classroom and says that thoughtfully constructed physical learning environments maximize student learning opportunities. We talked about many different ways to maximize the physical space so that students are learning from interactions with their environment, and we emphasize the fact that this cannot stop in early childhood, but has to be part of our children's learning experience all the way through their schooling. Principle number 13 of Yeshiva Lab School's Principles of Pedagogy states that eliciting and honoring student voice draws the learner into the learning process. And we noted that both of these things are important. We have to allow and give opportunities for the child to tell us what they think, what they feel, how they see the world, And that we need to honor that as something that we're not, is not pro forma. We're not simply listening and then moving on, but that what they have to say gets incorporated into the learning process that the child is about to experience. Principle number 14, we said, might be the hardest of our principles of pedagogy, but it also might be one of the most important. Principle number 14 says that extrinsic consequences lead to short-term behavior modification, while intrinsic consequences lead to long-term value internalization and growth. We must begin structuring our classrooms and developing tools that will help our children internalize what it feels like to make good decisions, what the consequences of good decisions or bad decisions are in and of themselves, because those are the kinds of things that are going to lead to the types of behaviors and the type of character we want to see over the long term, rather than some sort of short-term modification that changes the minute the circumstances change. And that brings us to our last principle, principle number 15, which states that the effective teacher is chief architect of the learning experience, but not the sole purveyor of information. In the world that our kids are headed to, the role of the teacher is just as important as it ever was, perhaps even more important. But it has indeed changed. The role of the teacher now is to bring all of these elements together to help our students to learn from all different parts of their world, inside the classroom, outside the classroom, to help the child learn both in the world of social, emotional, and spiritual learning, as well as their academic growth. But the teacher need not have all the answers. The teacher needs to be the one thinking through the plans, thinking through the different pieces that might enrich a child's experience, and bringing that together to help our children grow. I hope you've enjoyed our series on the principles of pedagogy. I encourage you to come visit Yeshiva Lab School. We'd love to show you around. And of course, look us up and like us on Facebook or visit us at www.yeshivalabschool.org.